Mansoor, while Democrats pursue impeachment, President Trump builds impressive record of accomplishments. By Rebecca Mansoor on October 4, 2019. Unable to talk about any actual accomplishments, and fearful of blowback from voters who didn't elect them to impeach the mother effer, Democrats have decided to use endless repetition of certain buzzwords to convince Americans that impeachment is necessary. In a conference call Sunday night, Democratic Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries named six words that Democrats will use: betrayal, abuse of power, national security, as they make the case that Trump abused his office, Politico reports. You have to hand it to the Dems. It's not a bad plan. When you don't have a logically consistent argument, the best strategy is to stick to buzzwords. And if you're a Democrat, you can get away with it because the media will accept your buzzwords at face value. Andrew Breitbart called this arrangement the Democrat media complex. The left does not win its battles in debate. It doesn't have to, Breitbart explained in his memoir, Righteous Indignation. Democrats have been reciting their six words all week, amplified by their media allies whose news reports sound generally like this. Democrats have characterized Trump's behavior as a betrayal of the public trust and an abuse of power that threatens America's national security. See how easy that was? You'll be hearing that ad nauseum on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, FNC, PBS, etc. Worse than Salem. Trump has called this entire impeachment farce a witch hunt. I disagree. This is actually worse than a witch hunt. The accused at Salem got more due process than he's getting from the Democrats. They were at least allowed to face their hysterical shrieking accusers. The nameless CIA operative whose hearsay complaint sparked this latest impeachment push won't testify in public. And President Trump and the American people are supposed to be perfectly comfortable with this. A member of our clandestine intelligence apparatus, who is a registered Democrat, has Democrat lawyers, and coordinated with Adam Schiff's staff, wants to remove a duly elected sitting president from office based on the stuff this unnamed spook allegedly heard secondhand from some other unnamed spookses. Oh wait. He also cites articles he read in the media citing unnamed sources who are probably the same unnamed sources he talked to around the water cooler about the betrayal of our national security by Orange Man's abuse of power. Sounds very non-political to me. There really isn't a deep state, if by deep you mean covert. It's not covert at all. It's right in your face. You'll recall that the whole Russiagate conspiracy originated with these same non-political CIA operatives. That's what their leaks were about back in December 2016. And the Democrat media complex dutifully reported them then. Two, with breathless headlines like this one from the Washington Post on December 9, 2016. Barely 1 month after the election, secret CIA assessment says Russia was trying to help Trump win White House. The Mueller report showed us how credible that secret CIA assessment was. It just took 2 years, 2,800 subpoenas, nearly 500 search warrants, 13 evidence requests to foreign governments, 500 witness interviews, and a taxpayer price tag of $32 million. I guess we should be grateful that the latest CIA coup attempt fell apart within days, after we learned that their whistleblower's complaint bore little resemblance to the phone conversation he was complaining about, which is perhaps understandable since the whistleblower didn't actually know what was said on the call. He just heard about it. In fact, the online whistleblower submission form was updated last August to remove the requirement for first-hand knowledge of an alleged wrongdoing. So I'm sure we can expect more whistleblowers thanks to this new hearsay evidentiary standard. Now the people who hate Trump's guts can file complaints based on stuff they heard from other people who hate Trump's guts. They don't have to witness anything themselves, they can just cite each other's complaints, i.e. Trump is guilty because my colleague said so. And here's the newspaper article quoting this same colleague anonymously making this allegation. And the corrupt media will quote their repetitions like gospel. Trump's words and deeds. It's ironically fitting that Democrats are trying to sell impeachment by repeating empty buzzwords. From the moment he announced his campaign in June 2015, Trump was despised not for anything he actually did, but for the words he used. Donald Trump, alone among the political class, understood that when you are not allowed to call problems what they are, you aren't able to fix them. But saying words is one thing, actually following through with deeds is another. During the Cold War, An internal KGB report famously described Ronald Reagan as a firm and unbending politician for whom words and deeds are one and the same. That assessment explained why the Soviets feared Reagan so much, and why history would prove their fears were well-founded. Reagan defeated the evil empire because his words became deeds. The smart Democrats fear Trump for the same reason. Any fair assessment of his record in office will show that, by and large, Trump's words have become deeds, and that is why they want him gone. While the Democrats have been pushing impeachment, he has been working for the American people doing the things he said he would. Let's review his record. The greatest jobs president God ever created. When candidate Donald Trump promised to be the greatest jobs president God ever created, the pundits rolled their eyes. What kind of an idiot would say or believe that? Here are the facts. You decide. More Americans are now employed than ever recorded before in our history. More than 6 million new jobs have been created since Donald Trump took office. Keep in mind that the labor participation rate has risen under Trump. That means Americans who had been sitting on the sidelines out of the job market for years are finally going back to work. Since January 2017, 4.2 million more Americans joined the civilian labor force, and 1.5 million fewer Americans are unemployed. In fact, the unemployment rate has reached a 50-year low under Trump. And when you drill down, the details are even more amazing. African American and Hispanic unemployment has achieved the lowest rate ever recorded in our nation's history. Women's unemployment recently reached the lowest rate in 65 years. The unemployment rate for Americans without a high school diploma has also reached the lowest rate ever recorded. Those are real jobs and real opportunities for Americans. And thanks to President Trump's immigration policies, this tight labor market has forced employers to invest in training American workers for the jobs they need to fill. Americans are not only working, but they are making more money today than they have in the past, Rick Manning from Americans for Limited Government noted. The household median income rose to a record $61,372 in 2017, as more Americans are benefiting from wage gains earned. Rebuilding American manufacturing. Our country is going to start building and making things again, candidate Trump promised in 2016. The loudest critic was Mr. Hope and Change himself, no doubt bitter about his own failure to fulfill a 2008 campaign promise to revive American manufacturing. At a town hall event in July 2016, then-President Barack Obama threw shade on candidate Trump's promise to bring back manufacturing jobs. Well, how exactly are you going to do that? What exactly are you going to do? There's no answer to it, Obama said. He just says, well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, what, how exactly are you going to negotiate that? What magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is, he doesn't have an answer. Apparently Trump found the magic wand. The scoreboard doesn't lie. Over 500,000 new manufacturing jobs have been created since Trump took office. In fact, the U.S. economy added nearly as many manufacturing jobs during Trump's first 2 years in office as it did during Obama's entire second term. In 2018 alone, the manufacturing sector added more jobs than it had in any other year since 1997, a 20-year high. 1997, that's before China was admitted into the World Trade Organization. You'll recall that in his campaign kickoff speech, candidate Trump said he would tell the Ford Motor Company that if they moved their plant to Mexico, they could expect a tariff from President Trump. I don't know if a conversation like that took place between President Trump and any of the Detroit automakers. But I do know that thanks to Trump's threat of auto tariffs, Chrysler announced last February that it would build the first auto plant within the city of Detroit in a generation. Reversing a half century of trade betrayals, we're not going to be the stupid people anymore. The truth is, it didn't take a magic wand, it just took political will. But if you listened to our elites, you'd think the loss of American manufacturing was an unstoppable mystery of nature, like whatever caused the dinosaurs to go extinct. Donald Trump understood that the mass offshoring of American jobs, just like our insane trade deficits, was the conscious effort of a half century of globalist economic and foreign policy decisions that put Americans last. Following the Second World War, we allowed our allies to take advantage of our open market with unreciprocal trade agreements that hurt us and enriched them. These policies made sense during the Cold War as a means to provide economic assistance to our allies recovering from the ravages of World War and staving off the spread of Soviet communism. But the Cold War is over, and the American economy has been hollowed out at the expense of a globalist world order that cares nothing for the human costs when transnational corporations abandon one country after another in search of cheaper labor to exploit. It was Donald Trump who had the courage to actually do something to stop this free trade travesty that left our country poorer and weaker. If our companies want to leave, they're going to pay a nice big beautiful tax to get their product back in, candidate Trump promised in August 2016. We're not going to be the stupid people anymore. It's going to be America first. Trump is fulfilling his promise to reorient the nation's trade policies to put America first. Despite furious pushback and denunciations from Wall Street, K Street, Silicon Valley, Hollywood, and Madison Avenue. The centerpiece of this effort is the deal Trump negotiated with Mexico and Canada, called the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA, which is a vast improvement on the flawed and outdated North American Free Trade Agreement. USMCA tightens rules of origin, including raising the North American content for auto manufacturing from 62.5% to 75%. It also guarantees Mexican workers the right to form and join unions, preventing U.S. workers from having to compete with exploited workers. Most importantly, the new agreement will need to be renewed every 6 years, allowing the agreement to be updated if the results are not acceptable to the U.S., Mexico, or Canada. Trump's USMCA is waiting for Congress to pass it. Nancy Pelosi now claims she wants to take this up. The ball is in her corner. If she's not too busy trying to impeach the man who is saving American jobs. Slaying the dragon, Trump stands up to China. For decades, Democrats and Republicans passively, and even actively, abetted the rise of the greatest existential threat to America. Donald Trump is the first president to actively push back against the authoritarian communist regime that has been stealing our intellectual property, violating trade rules, manipulating its currency, dumping products on our shores to wipe out our industries, occupying territory it has no right to, threatening to destroy sovereign nations, throwing its own people into concentration camps, and colonizing the developing world through a predatory debt scheme. China is engaged in long-term asymmetrical warfare against us. And our own politicians gave aid and comfort to our enemy by selling out American manufacturing. That's right, folks. Our ruling class endangered America's national security by allowing our country to be deindustrialized. Their globalist offshoring and trade policies destroyed America's domestic manufacturing capacity to the point where we are now dependent on China to supply vital components for our military aircraft, tanks, and weapons systems. They put our national defense at the mercy of a communist regime hell-bent on world domination. Trump didn't start this war with China, but he's the only one trying to win it. Everyone else is busy convincing us to surrender. Joe Biden, father of Hunter, doesn't even think China is a threat at all. Trump's opening salvo was to impose tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum to protect our national security, because a viable manufacturing base requires a domestic steel industry. China was dumping steel, below the price it costs them to make it, for the sole purpose of driving our industry out of business. Despite one bogus sky is falling Wall Street Journal headline after another, Trump stood his ground and threw down those tariffs. The free trade fundamentalists were wrong. Trump's tariffs worked, and a lot of Americans were able to get back to work. Since then, Trump has levied tariffs on China's exports and pressured U.S. companies to move their supply chains out of China in an effort to end the unfair trade practices and industrial policies that China has followed for decades. These measures have put intense pressure on the Chinese economy, particularly its manufacturing sector, as shown by industrial production falling to its weakest level in 17 years. Chinese companies have paid for the tariffs by lowering prices, and the Chinese currency has fallen in value, making imported goods more expensive for its consumers. Meanwhile, China's neighboring U.S. allies are benefiting by exporting more to the U.S. Trump also reasserted America's moral authority in calling out China's horrifying human rights abuses. The Pentagon under Trump exposed China's imprisonment of 3 million Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps, while the Muslim world ignored their plight. He welcomed the families of these Uyghur Muslims to the Oval Office, expanded arms sales to Taiwan to defend its sovereignty, and pressured the regime in Beijing to yield to the Hong Kong democracy protesters. All of this has required political courage in the face of relentless opposition from our corrupt and co-opted elites. China's communist rulers have openly declared that their goal is to defeat the United States economically and militarily. They will bribe our politicians, buy out our companies, steal our military secrets, and infiltrate our media and universities to do so. Our Pentagon warns that China's military is increasingly able to project power and contest U.S. military superiority. Do you see anyone other than Donald Trump trying to stop them? Restoring American sovereignty and citizenship. Without strong borders, we don't have a country, President Trump has said. You'd think that was a fairly uncontroversial statement. Think again. The Trump administration has increased prosecutions of illegal aliens to a two-decade high, driven up wages for blue-collar American workers by tightening the labor market through immigration enforcement, shifted economic power from businesses to workers, and enforced a Clinton-era regulation to prevent welfare-dependent immigrants from permanently resettling in the U.S., saving taxpayers billions. None of this has been easy. Cheap labor corporate interests, who benefit from exploiting foreign labor at the expense of American workers, and left-wing open borders groups have targeted Trump's immigration policies from the moment he took office. As Michelle Malkin detailed in her latest book, the massive Central American migrant caravans journeying to our border were bolstered by global interests, left-wing activists, and religious institutions that advocate for illegal aliens. We've had migration surges in the past, but these massive caravans were clearly well-organized efforts to test, or embarrass, the Trump administration. The crisis was compounded by years of failure from the Clinton, Bush, and Obama administrations to secure agreements with Central America and Mexico to stem the flow of illegal immigration and asylum-seeking migration at the southern border. At the heart of the current migration crisis is an obscure loophole in our immigration law that prevents U.S. officials from keeping a minor in detention for more than 20 days, which is not enough time to adjudicate an asylum claim. That policy means that anyone coming to our border with a child in tow has, in effect, a get-out-of-jail-free card, incentivizing the exploitation of children by human traffickers. When the Trump administration tried to adhere to the letter of the law by keeping the adults in detention and allowing the children to leave, Trump was accused of kidnapping children and running concentration camps at the border. Every action by Trump to fix this problem has been countered by activist judges blocking his reforms, politicians refusing to pass a law to close the asylum loophole or give him the humanitarian funding he needs to care for the migrants, and hysterical accusations from open border apparatchiks who pretend to care about the migrants while turning a blind eye to the horrific abuse they endure at the hands of criminal cartels trafficking them across our border. Similarly, Trump signed a third safe country agreement with Guatemala, ensuring that migrants are not allowed to pass through the Central American country in order to travel to the U.S. to claim asylum. Instead, migrants must seek asylum in Guatemala. Even moving beyond the border, Trump enacted visa sanctions in his first year in office on countries like Eritrea and Cambodia after they failed for years to take back their nationals who were ordered deported from the U.S. And then there's the wall. As with all the rest of his immigration agenda, Trump's border wall has faced coordinated attacks from the nation's leading open borders lobbying groups, environmental organizations, and elected politicians, who refuse to give him funds to secure our border. When Trump declared a national state of emergency at the U.S.-Mexico border, California Attorney General Xavier Becerra and 15 other state attorneys general filed suit, alleging that our nation's commander-in-chief does not have authority to use Pentagon funds to secure our own nation's borders. By the way, the Democrats and Republicans who blocked Trump's wall funding were happy to fund border walls in foreign countries. Keep in mind that Trump is not asking for anything unusual. The same politicians had no problem funding barrier requests made by Presidents Bush and Obama. These same activists never complained about the cages in these detention facilities when Obama held migrants there. Despite all of this obstruction, Trump's wall is getting built. The Trump administration is focusing first on the areas of greatest need for Border Patrol agents. A couple-mile stretch of Trump's wall might not seem like a lot to some people, but it sure makes all the difference in the world to us. We are safer and our objectives are much easier to meet, Border Patrol agent Mike Matsky told Breitbart News. Destroying the caliphate. Remember ISIS? They had a caliphate spanning over 100,000 square kilometers in Syria and Iraq with a population of $12 million and $2 billion in annual revenue from seized oil wells. When they weren't raping women, burning people alive in cages, beheading Christians, and blowing up ancient churches, they were inspiring Islamic terror attacks in Europe and America. The Democrats told us to get used to the beheadings, et al. They said it was the new normal. Trump also reduced the U.S. refugee admissions to an historical low, as he promised, and instituted a constitutional travel ban to end legal immigration from terrorist-sponsored counties, which reduced the ability of any ISIS member to get into our country. Does anyone seriously think the caliphate would be gone if a Democrat still occupied the Oval? No more stupid wars for oil. Thanks to Trump's all-of-the-above energy policy, the U.S. surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia to become the world's largest producer of crude oil, making us less vulnerable to Middle East political turmoil, such as Iran's recent attack on the Saudi facility. During the Bush years, the left chanted, "No war for oil." Thanks to Trump, we don't have to go war for oil. And he's resisted launching more wars in the Middle East, despite plenty of provocation and encouragement. Instead, he supported our allies and put our enemies on notice. He fulfilled a decades-old bipartisan bill to move our embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He threw sanctions back on Iran for violating Obama's idiotic nuclear deal, which had enriched the mullahs with billions of dollars that they used to spread terrorism throughout the Middle East and Latin America. Thanks to Trump's sanctions, Hezbollah is so broke they are putting piggy banks in grocery stores. Oh, and by the way, Trump got our deadbeat NATO allies to pay their fair share after they'd been ripping us off for decades. Draining the swamp. Beneath all the nonsense about impeachment and resistance is the desperate longing of our political class to go back to the world before Donald Trump changed everything. A world rigged against the interests of everyday Americans. That thing we call the swamp, the political establishment on the right and the left, would love to set the clock back to the day before Trump descended his golden escalator and ruined their racket. Take away Trump and what does the political landscape look like? On the right, we have free trade kamikazes, totally divorced from reality, reciting Pangloss and platitudes about the glories of unfettered capitalism while their Wall Street benefactors strip mine our industries and sell them to China, who, for their part, have re-engineered the opium wars. We send them our supply chains. They send us fentanyl to zombify the masses while they partner with our elites to rob us blind. When we complained about the loss of jobs, they told us to enjoy the cheap products at Walmart and learn to code. When the right isn't invading countries or lecturing us about the national debt, which they've done nothing to reduce and are only too happy to run up if it means giving their donors a tax cut, they're devising ways to reform the pension and medical fund that American workers have paid into their entire adult lives. Because, if you're Paul Ryan, nothing says electoral landslide like promising to gut Social Security and Medicare. They call themselves conservatives, but they fail to conserve our jobs, our communities, our defense supply chain, our culture, our religious heritage, our freedom of speech, and our own country's borders. This is the idiotic shell game Donald Trump upended. Again, considered the record. To fight the opioid crisis, Trump signed into law the Support Act, the largest legislative package in history addressing a single drug crisis. He's also beefed up funding for drug treatment, cracked down on prescription drug abuse, and pressured China to cease its fentanyl trafficking as a requirement of any trade deal. Trump got us out of the bogus Paris Climate Agreement, i.e. a sham treaty that allowed the world's biggest polluter, China, to go on polluting while punishing us. He signed an executive order defending free speech on college campuses, i.e. the Orwellian indoctrination centers for future woke apparatchiks. Universities now risk losing federal funding if they fail to uphold the First Amendment. He's appointing constitutional conservatives to the federal judiciary at a record pace, recently reaching 150 appointments. He picked two good Supreme Court justices. And if you don't think the Kavanaugh hearings were crazy enough, just wait till you see what happens if he gets to pick another one. Despite Democrats' refusal to work with him on nonpartisan healthcare reforms, Trump signed executive orders that have helped lower drug prices for the first time in half a century and keep health insurance premiums, which skyrocketed under Obama, relatively stable. This list could go on and on. You get the picture. It's the ultimate insult to injury that the Democrats want to impeach the man who promised to drain the swamp because he was attempting to drain the swamp by getting to the bottom of Russiagate and Bidengate. Bidengate is just Clinton Cash 2.0, you know. The scandal that inspired all those drain the swamp chants. So, if there's any confusion about Bidengate, let me clear this one up for the Democrats. It was an abuse of power when Joe Biden, father of Hunter, threatened to withhold loan guarantees from Ukraine if the country didn't fire the prosecutor investigating his son. Joe Biden's kid glove treatment of China, while his son's firm was getting a $1.5 billion sweetheart deal from the state-owned Bank of China, was a betrayal of his office that put our national security at risk. How do you like those buzzwords, Dems? The Democrat media complex wants you to ignore everything I've listed above. But no matter what they say, you cannot ignore what Trump has done. He has been winning for America, while the Democrat media complex has been plotting revenge against him for their loss. They looked like fools on November 8, 2016, and they will never forgive him for that or risk it happening again. I say, let's make them look stupid again. Rebecca Mansour is senior editor-at-large for Breitbart News and the host of Breitbart News Tonight on Sirius XM Patriot Channel 125. Which broadcasts live weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. Follow her on Twitter at @RAMansour.